This is a podcast from ABC Overnights.
It's time now to chat with Professor Gordon Lynch. So if you can't find the time to get to the gym or you like training away from crowds, a home gym could be the answer. And Gordon Lynch is here to help us figure out how feasible a home gym might be. Gordon, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Paul. I'm still singing along to the ABBA.
Isn't it great? Oh.
And good way to start the morning.
But terrible workout music, ironically. Just awful.
Possibly.
Yeah. So how realistic, because I know a lot of people have gym memberships and they just sort of sit there. How many of those people's problems would be solved by setting up a home gym?
Well, I wonder, possibly they might not use the home gym either. The question is, there are some sales on at the moment. I'm thinking, it's a good opportunity to buy equipment, and that's fine as long as you're going to use it and as long as it's the right equipment, Paul, because you can choose the wrong things and it's not designed for you and you'll never touch it. It then becomes a clothes hanger, and that's really not what it's about. If you're going to invest in a home gym, you're going to do it for the right reasons. And you mentioned about exercising in the comfort of your home and training away from the crowds. All those things, if you're not feeling comfortable exercising in a gym environment, then I think a home gym, there's obvious advantages. But you don't just go out and buy a lot of equipment if it's going to sit idle. You need to make appropriate choices, and that really starts with your goals. And I think if it's the same with gym memberships, you might have a membership there, but you don't use it because you actually don't know what your health goals are. And I think it starts with that, Paul.
Okay. I know several people who have cancelled their bank accounts and their bank cards and gotten new ones rather than go and try and get out of a gym membership. It feels like there are also social aspects and sort of all these weird tangled parts of gyms that scare people off. But should people go to a normal gym to get a taste before diving into buying thousands of dollars worth of equipment?
I like the concept of going to a gym when you've got gym instructors. If you're new to exercising, you can learn how to do the exercises properly. Mm. You can have a program that's designed for you. All those things are really important. You can train with others who can inspire you to help training and spur each other on. All those things have important merit. And I think you can, if you like the gym environment, it's an incentive to keep that going. But some people, Paul, will just go get a taste of what it's like and then decide, well, actually, I can do this. It's not convenient for me to get to the gym. How do I get around that? And that's another reason. I think if you're motivated to do it, then having the home gym is going to be an important thing to keep fitness as part of your healthy lifestyle.
Okay, so how much space does one need, and how small can a home gym be? I mean, a treadmill surely doesn't constitute a home gym. When I enter a gym, I expect huge mirrors and weights that I'll never use and a weird smell. How do people start, and where can they put it?
Well, let's rule out the mirrors and the smell. Okay. Because perhaps they're not the most essential things. But, the room itself is actually, how much space do you have to accommodate the gym? So exercise equipment, can take up a lot of room, and you can't just sort of fold it around and stick it under the bed. If you've got a spare room, that could be a thing, or a basement or a garage or a shed. All of them may be suitable, but the thing is they need to be well ventilated. They need to be a bright space, so it's an area that's safe to train. Do you have enough room for items like a bench or an exercise mat? You can buy all these things. You don't have to buy them all at once, but you can build them up. But the more equipment you buy, the more space you're going to have, because it has to be done in a safe way. So I think if it's children and other things, the equipment has to be put away. So dropping things for any hand set of hands, but even for small hands, it's going to cause trouble. So we need to think, is it a safe environment? Do you have enough room to lift a bar above your head and not put it through the ceiling? All these practical considerations to say, okay, I want to commit to having a space which I'm going to make my home gym, but is it appropriate, or how do I make it appropriate? And we can adapt a room, get the flooring done, we can get benches and other things. And you can start with a small thing and build it up over time, as I have with my own home gym. I didn't buy all this equipment at the start. I just built it up over time, and for my own facility, I'm very happy with it. And I think you can do the same thing.
Have you had any custom merch made, you know, with a logo? You know how some people get really into the sort of minutiae? How deep have you gone, Gordon?
No, I haven't. I haven't gone that far. Maybe that's an incentive for me to try and do that. You know, keep training Gordo, sort of thing. But I think it's just getting the equipment that's right, getting the most suitable equipment. What do you need to buy? What are the essential things? You say when you walk into a gym, what you expect to see? Mm. A basic home gym, of course, it will depend upon your goals. If it's about not wanting to exercise outside, then you need some form of equipment that's going to have aerobic thing plastered all over it. And that's going to be, you know, a treadmill or a stationary bike or a rowing machine. All these things take up space, as I mentioned. A home gym usually has, at least has some padded floor in terms of rubber flooring, because you don't want to bang things and make a lot of noise, and so it's got to be safe as well. But a bench, a set of dumbbells perhaps, and you can build up those dumbbells. The long bar, which is the barbell, a set of plates, etc. Things, that you're often constrained by budget, because these things can be very expensive. But I mentioned that, there are certain sales on at different times of the year. You may make a strategic purchase. And, I would sometimes go into these places and try before I buy. Make sure it's equipment that's going to be appropriate for you. And the other thing about safety, Paul, is that if you're going to go and choose equipment, is it the equipment that your doctor would approve you to do? Because I've mentioned always, exercise is fantastic if it's the right exercise for you. If you have a medical problem or other things, there are certain exercises that you can and should be doing, and the other things that you need to avoid. So it's no point going to invest in equipment and say, oh, look at this shiny treadmill, etc., but it may not be the appropriate equipment for you. So that's another thing that I think we should make sure before we go and buy these things, make sure that it's the right equipment for you.
Okay. I'm speaking with Professor Gordon Lynch about designing your home gym. Gordon, whenever I go to a small British town, I get informed by them that in order to be a town, it has to have a post office, a pub, and something else. Are there any items that every home gym has to have in order to technically qualify as a home gym?
I like when I talk about designing a program, an exercise program, we usually go around the body, and that is about thinking about the heart and lungs. So that's aerobic exercise. So I think, well, what piece of equipment do you have that it's going to be used for aerobic exercise? So I like having a treadmill. I think that's a good thing. If it's raining outside, you got a treadmill, you can walk, you can change the inclination, you can change the speed. It's a really good way of making a progressive exercise program for aerobic fitness. Alternatively, you can have a rowing machine. I think an exercise bike. Sometimes you've got an air bike where you're pushing the handles as well. That's another very intense way of doing exercise. But going around the body, muscles, bones, and joints, we're thinking about strength training, and that's why I think we need to have basic resistance training equipment, a basic bench, dumbbells, as I mentioned. You can build up those dumbbells. You can have interchangeable plates for the dumbbells, or you can have dumbbells at set weights. And over time, you can build up quite an impressive collection, as long as you've got the room to do that. And then you may have, a stretching mat or a padded mat where you can do those other exercises, because balance and flexibility are the other important parts of our exercise program. And we need to have an area where we can do those safely and effectively as well. So, there are things I look for, and it may not happen straight away. We're budget constrained. I understand that. So just make that first strategic purchase. Make sure that you're going to be using it. And that may be an incentive to get the next one, and so on. And I think we can build up a pretty impressive home gym that's right for you.
Okay. Because I'm thinking about the sales, Gordon, and I'm going, look, if I calculate how much a year membership at the gym will cost me, let's say it costs me, $2,000, and then there is a treadmill and something else that will cost me $1,500. Financially, it's actually cheaper in the long run to buy the stuff now, right?
It is. And so it is a commitment. And I don't like wasting money. I just sometimes our schedules get in the way and you can't train consistently. I understand that, and we've got to be practical about that. But if you've invested money into a home gym, please make sure that you use it and use it effectively, because that return on investment, it may take a while, Paul. It may not be in that first year. It may be, if you're buying, you know, certain types of equipment, which is quite expensive, it may take a few years before you realize that return. But I think at that time, you've been training, you've been exercising, your health and your fitness has improved over that time. That's the bigger return on investment. And I think it's making sure that if you've got that equipment, making sure that you use it and use it effectively.
I just don't trust myself to do this. I mean, you'd walk into mine, there'd be a wall full of different makes of pogo stick. You know, you'd have one of those weird snake boards. It would just be useless crap. But I think it takes a sort of mature, rational person to build a gym that you will actually use.
And you can get advice on how to do that. You can consult with a personal trainer who's experienced in doing that. There are many, you know, sort of resources out there, you know, when you're going to buy a gym. But when you go to a gym equipment place, one of those fitness places where there's a whole range of equipment to choose from, I've always found that the owners, the people that work there, extremely knowledgeable about the equipment that they're selling. They allow you to try certain things, make sure it's the right fit, the size, and so on, that it's suitable for you. I've always found them to be terrific. So just go around, just don't go to the first shop and buy it. Go around, look and see the different types of equipment, the different brands, what suits you, what gets the best reviews, and then make that strategic purchase, and you won't look back as long as you make sure that you're using it.
Excellent advice. Also, don't look back when you're running on a treadmill. Not safe. I got a question here for you, Gordon, from Jane. Not gym-related, but supplementing with salts or salt tablets to maintain muscle performance in hot weather when sweating, whether at work or exercising,
I would prefer that Jane would be using a sports drink. And the reason I say that is that it's very easy to have excess amounts of sodium salt, which is going to upset our fluid balance and could actually make us even more dehydrated. So the idea with the sports drinks is that they're formulated to mimic the sorts of solutions that coat our muscles and allow our muscles to do what they're supposed to do without, you know, without stopping and without fatiguing. And so if you're going to have the salt, if salt is the issue, then it's a combination of both different types of salt, not just one. In terms of salt tablets, there are a variety of electrolytes that need to be replaced if you're sweating heavily. And those sports drinks are formulated in a way to replace what's being lost. So I would prefer, Jane, that you look for a sports drink and make sure you're hydrated before you start exercising, and then keep having sips of fluid during your exercise to try and keep those levels topped up, and then replenish afterwards as well. Because as the hot weather approaches in the southern hemisphere for the summer, it's really important that hydration is up on our list so that we're exercising safely and effectively.
Okay, great. And do you have a glass-fronted fridge over at Gordo's Muscle Shack full of energy drinks?
And I typically just have water during my workout, and I'll have my usually I have a protein shake and other things at the end of my workout. Mm-hmm. So, look, for most people who are exercising, if it's not super hot outside, if it's not really humid, and you are sweating and so on, generally water is going to be okay, and I think that's fine. But if you're out in the heat, if you're doing very intense exercise, if you're sweating heavily, then that's when, you know, my advice to Jane is making sure that you've got sports drinks there, because the sports drinks are going to make sure that the other things that are lost in sweat, and that is the different minerals and electrolytes, are replaced at the concentrations that are suitable for the body, not where we start to experiment with different salts ourselves and we can make a mess of it, and that can lead to problems. So making sure that we're not dehydrated by making what we're drinking properly, and then I think the sports drinks are the ones that are formulated for the best. So I'd go with that one, Paul.
Okay, fantastic. Also, please trademark Gordo's Muscle Shack. I think that's got legs.
I'll look into that merch as well.
You will not, but bless you for saying so. Listen, Gordon, always lovely talking. Have a fantastic Saturday, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Paul.